Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me today. The phone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I don't even know how to begin here. I'm stunned. I guess they keep having it happen. And at some point, if they keep having it happen, there's got to be some level of insanity, some disconnect, some something. I'm talking about this Border Patrol story. It's a genuinely, truly weird story. And we need to break this down for you. A reporter with the El Paso Times has written a story, made a suggestion. Well, let me just read for you her phrasing. This is Martha Skowski at the El Paso Times. The agent swung his whip menacingly, charging his horse toward the men in the river who were trying to return to an encampment under the international bridge in Del Rio after buying food and water in Ciudad Acuña, Mexico. Now, Sikowski is the environmental watchdog reporter at the El Paso Times. She's written for a bunch of left-wing publications from The Guardian to Vice. She graduated from New York University in 2021 and is apparently pretty ignorant and uncultured. We have a New Yorker going down to Texas to cover the border crisis for the El Paso Times, and she got a horse rein confused with a whip.
This stuff's made in New York City.
New York City!
Yep. Martha Sikowski said that the agent swung his whip menacingly. The agent had in his hands his horse reins. And they are long reins. What are they called? Split reins. So for those of you who don't know, and I'm actually don't know a ton about horse culture, but I know enough to know what this is. When you're out in the wild of the desert and you're on horseback, you have split reins that allow you to really control the horse from one side or the other with one hand. Unlike when you're in the field doing the fancy horse riding stuff, side saddle, no less, I'm sure, that Ms. Sikowski is probably familiar with. These long reins, they not only do that, but they allow you to still hold onto the reins even as the horse's neck and head are down, allowing the horse to eat or drink. And the agent, you can see the video, he spins. Now, they've gone from whip today to whip-like cord. It is the reins of the horse. And he spins it out. You never see him actually hit. You never see any of these agents hit anyone. They're spinning them. They're hitting the horse. They're steering the horse. They're maneuvering to block the people. But it has become a massive scandal. The head of Homeland Security had to come out and say that it's not true. This is from the New York Post. Secretary Mayorkas and Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz told reporters in Del Rio, Texas, Monday they saw nothing obviously wrong with how the agents acted based on initial viewings of the images and footage. Mayorkas explained the agents used long reins, not whips, to control their horses, while Ortiz cited the difficulty in distinguishing migrants from smugglers as people move back and forth near the river. John Ekdahl, who I know from Twitter, several years ago, I've mentioned this before, it was 2016, I believe, after Trump was elected, he put up a tweet and he said, how many reporters know someone who owns a pickup truck? And instead of a lot of reporters coming out and saying they did or they did not, the Blue Checkmark Brigade on social media began excoriating him for having the audacity to ask a question like that. What nonsense. Who cares? The reason he asked the question is because the top three most popular vehicles in the United States are pickup trucks. Number one is the Ford F-150. Number two, the Chevy Silverado. Number three, the Dodge Ram pickup. Those are the three most popular vehicles in this country in 2016 and in 2021. And by the way, there's a Toyota is number four, I think, and number five is the GMC Sierra. I have three neighbors in a row here. My neighbor over here is a Chevy Silverado. His son is an F-150. My neighbor next to them, right across from me, is a GMC Sierra. And the neighbor next to him is an older model Ford F-150. I've got a GMC Yukon Denali. I don't have a pickup truck. My father-in-law has an older F-150, a very old F-150. My dad has a Chevy Silverado. My brother-in-law has an F-250. Both of the guys who work for me, Philip and Charlie. Philip's got a Nissan pickup truck. Charlie has a GMC or Chevy pickup truck, Silverado. And most major members of the American press corps don't know anyone who owns a pickup truck. They live cloistered lives in the Acela corridor where they have mass public transportation, and they don't get out and about. They don't know anyone who owns a pickup truck. They are isolated from real America. And by the way, New York and D.C. are not real America. Someone one time when I pointed that out said that's absurd. It's like saying that Paris isn't France. Charles de Gaulle very famously once said there is Paris and then there is France. There is the Acela corridor and then there is America. Ryan Riley, a reporter for the Huffington Post, when they were having the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, after the Michael Brown situation, he took a picture of foam earplugs, put it on social media, says, are these rubber bullets? I think they're rubber bullets or some such. He had not seen the earplugs, the standard earplugs that you put in your ears if you're out shooting guns, for example. He's now, by the way, the senior justice reporter for the Huffington Post, writing a book about January 6th. I'm sure it's going to be very objective. So here comes Martha Sikowski of New York City.
This stuff's made New York City.
New York City!
And she writes, the agent swung his whip menacingly, charging his horse towards the men in the river who were trying to return to an encampment under the International Bridge. Her fake news led to scores of Democrats and progressive activists condemning the Border Patrol. Her claims went viral on the internet. Democratic senators, Congress people, critters, they condemned it. The White House condemned it, and on it went. And it wasn't a whip. It was not even as they've now shifted the story to a whip-like cord. It's not even that. It's the split reins of the Border Patrol agent, and he wasn't hitting anyone. And you know, to her credit, Sikowski never claims that they were actually rounding up or beating the immigrants with whips. The rounding up claim came from a Democratic progressive activist named Sawyer Hackett. As best I can tell, he's the executive director of Julian Castro's People First Future. He tweeted, Border Patrol is mounted on horseback, rounding up Haitian refugees with whips, which was not true, is not true. They were not doing it. It is the split rein of the horse that they're on, but these cloistered Democrats in elite areas of the country, they have no recognition of that. They don't know it. They don't recognize it, and so they were able to make a national story. The NBC News, the Associated Press, the Washington Post, CNN, major news outlets all ran with a story that is fake news. Now, remember, they only condemn Republicans for fake news. They only say Republicans do it. They're never guilty of it themselves, even when they are, and here they are, very guilty of doing this. It is fake news. It is not true, and then there's something else to note. The media, these reporters who are outraged, these progressive politicians, they haven't said one damn thing about the border in weeks. For weeks, conservatives have been talking about this. For a week, we've been documenting the mass of humanity crossing the Rio Grande. We were talking about this last week. when there were 10,000 people. I was playing you the audio, describing the video. It was all over the weekend. The numbers have swollen to 15, 20,000 people now. We've been talking about it. These reporters and Democrats and progressives chose to say nothing about it until they could put it in an anti-American frame. Until they could condemn the Border Patrol, they chose not to say a thing about it. They chose to pretend it was not happening. They chose to ignore it until they could make it about law enforcement is bad. Law enforcement is racist. Law enforcement is using whips. They did not want to act. They did not want to report. They did not want to show. They did not want to narrate until they could make it about, this is just law enforcement's bad and racist. They're using whips on people. It's like the 1800s. It's like slaves. They willfully have chosen to ignore the story until now. And now at least they're showing people what's actually going on down there, but the framing is decidedly against the authorities, making it look bad, running stories that is legit fake news, legitimately is not true. They are not using whips. They are not rounding up with whips Haitian refugees or immigrants of any kind. They were using the reins on their horse, the split reins on their horse. And in some of the pictures, they're very clearly lashing out to hit the horse, to steer the horse, not to hit the immigrants. If you watch the video, you see they're actually steering their horses. Yeah, there are a couple there that are spinning it, looking menacingly. Yeah, but it's not a whip. It's a rein. There's a fundamental difference. And the media chose to lie, to distort, to ignore, to cover up, and now to attack law enforcement yet again. And the real situation here is that a mass pile of people are streaming across the border, some of whom are dying en route, some of whom are being smuggled across as victims of human trafficking, not just to come here for a better life. Some of them think they're coming for a better life. They're actually being steered into sex trafficking by Mexican drug cartels. And they're not reporting that. They don't care about that. They're ignoring all of that. Instead, they choose fake news. Along the way, there's another question we need to get into with all of this. Where is Kamala Harris? Isn't she in charge of this? Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The whole world is asking a question.
Yeah.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. She's a political hazard from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me,
where in the world is
Kamala Harris?
Sell our soul in South Korea, made Afghanistan cry uncle. From the Red Sea to Greenland, they'll be singing the blues. Will they never Arkansas her steal the Mekong from the jungle? Tell me,
where in the world is
Kamala Harris?
Yeah, poor old Kamala Harris, nowhere to be seen. And now suddenly, she does a walk-on on the field over the weekend for a football game. She did a little party for the Congressional Black Caucus, but the border is her issue. The border is her issue. The White House helpfully says that the vice president is focusing on the root causes of the situation, and she's not actually solving the problem. She won't go down to the border to actually inspect the situation. Even people in the press are starting to say, wait a second, I thought she was in charge of this. Where is she? Nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be helping. It's not a good situation. And I got to tell you, the press amplifying this stuff. Here's the genius Chris Cuomo.
We really are in the throes in this country of figuring out who we are and what we're about. And I was taken aback by a single image that should make you pay attention to a problem. This one. There's a lot here. Yeah, as an image, to me it does smack of a bygone era of slavery. aided by reports of people being beaten, whether with a riding crop or the reins, most likely. You may be drawn to the desperation of the man trying to escape. Others, in the desperation of keeping our borders safe, of what I believe the former president tried to depict as a brown menace at our border.
Oh, good grief. He's not a very bright guy, is he? By the way, again, there aren't actually any videos or anything of people being beaten. At least he said it probably was the horse reins, but no evidence that anyone was beaten. But notice he hasn't wanted to cover this until he could cover it that way. He hasn't wanted to cover it until he could cover it in that way. Even his colleagues at CNN are starting to ask where Kamala Harris is. He is not. Here's Belungan at Fox News, who's been down there. He's one of the few reporters to have been covering this nonstop.
When Secretary Mayorkas said once again that the border is closed, I can tell you that is a tough pill for border agents to swallow. They talk to us off the record and they roll their eyes when they hear that. This is the U.S. border right now. Take a look at it. You had upwards of 15,000 people here as of Saturday morning. It is now just under 12,000. But these are all migrants who crossed illegally into the United States. They just walked across the river, no resistance whatsoever, and put up shop right here. And you can see a lot of them are using plants and sticks, using whatever they can find to build some sort of a shelter here. Take a look at our second camera just to show you the scope of how big this camp is. Again, between 10 and 12,000 people in the camp right now, most of them from Haiti and West Africa, most of them crossing the Rio Grande in the past few days and just setting up shop here, hoping that they're going to get a chance to stay.
Hoping they're going to get a chance to stay. Border Patrol agents rolling their eyes at Secretary Mayorkas, who was asked finally if this was a crisis.
Mr. Secretary, so you say repeatedly that it's a challenge, but last month you were reported privately saying that what's been happening along the border is unstable and admitting that there's a crisis. So I'm asking, would you update it right now?
Is this a crisis? Yes.
You know, I'm going to stop you right there. Let me just say very clearly, we are focused on meeting the challenge. We are focused on mission.
We're focused on meeting the challenge. Doesn't want to say it's a crisis. Can't bring himself to say it's a crisis. But it's okay because they're not actually going to stay. You know, that's what Jen Psaki said, is they don't need the vaccine because they're not going to stay. You know who's even asking where Kamala Harris is on this? Where is she going to be? Isn't she in charge of this? MSNBC.
How about the message from our vice president? Where is she? She was supposed to be in charge of all of these migration issues, going to those northern triangle countries. That's obviously not Haiti. That was one of her first international trips with the message, do not come here illegally. People aren't listening.
People aren't listening. Where is she? Nobody listens to Kamala Harris. Oh, my goodness. What a disaster. You know what's also shaping up to be a disaster? The reconciliation package and the fiscal cliff that we are headed to. We will spend some time dealing with the fiscal cliff here, but we got to deal with the reconciliation situation because things are not looking good for the Democrats in Congress right now. With themselves, they can't come up with a solution themselves. They can't solve the border problem. They can't solve the budget problem. They can't solve the debt problem. They can't solve the infrastructure problem. We're not even talking about the Republicans interfering. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. If you would like to be on the program, the phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Let's go to Mark. You're going to be first here. Mark, welcome to the program. Well, where did Mark go? No idea. All right. Phone issues yet again. That's fine. I need to move on to reconciliation anyway. Sorry about that, Mark. Okay. So now we need to discuss reconciliation. Because the Democrats are in a mess. What do I mean by this? So the Democrats control the White House. They control the House of Representatives. And they control the United States Senate. They don't really have to worry about Republicans for any sort of reconciliation issue. Because they can get reconciliation passed without Republican votes. Reconciliation under the rules of the United States Senate bypasses the filibuster. Let me explain this one to you. This is part of the, what's called the Byrd rule. When Robert Byrd, the KKK Democrat, was in the U.S. Senate, he decided, he was able to get a rule passed that once a year, now the Senate parliamentarian says possibly twice a year, if you have a budget resolution, that you can pass something to reconcile appropriation items with the budget. The key is they have a positive impact on the budget, and they do not change fundamentally public policy. So, for example, the Democrats wanted to throw amnesty into reconciliation, and the Senate parliamentarian said that would fundamentally change public policy, therefore you can't do it. They want to raise some taxes. They want to raise the corporate tax. They want to raise the individual income tax. They want to cut some spending. They want to spend a lot. They're claiming they have pay-fors. That is, their projections claim that things will be paid for, even though they won't. Joe Manchin from West Virginia has said, wait a second, we've already spent several trillion on COVID. We've got a $1.5 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and now they want to spend $3.5 trillion on a grab bag of goodies. No way. No more than $1.5 trillion. One of the ways that they were going to pay for their spending to get it through reconciliation was a prescription drug benefit alteration. They were going to essentially raise some costs on people. And Democrats in the House, some of them have balked at that. Moderates have said, no way, I'm not voting for this. You can only lose three Democrats in the House. So now Kristen Sinema, the senator from Arizona, has gone to Joe Biden and said, Joe, I'm going to vote for your reconciliation package, but only if you first pass by September 27th the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Joe Biden says, well, that's not on me. That's on Nancy Pelosi. So Sinema has echoed it. And House moderates have said, if you don't pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill by September 27th, the big package dies. Now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has come out and said, if you do pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill, we're killing it. So you've got the circular firing squad now among the Democrats, the moderates saying, pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill or else we won't vote for the other when it comes up. And the progressives saying we will not pass the one without the other. And all the while, Joe Manchin is saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to vote for a $3.5 trillion plan. It's dead. It cannot pass the Senate without Joe Manchin's vote. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Well, they've decided they're going to try to raise the debt ceiling. See, here's part of the problem. They have to raise the debt ceiling because based on the projected spending and the Democrats' plan, it's going to escalate. It's going to go through the roof. This is a real problem for the Democrats here. They cannot, fundamentally, the Democrats cannot pass their massive spending bill without having raised the debt ceiling because they can't spend the money. They'll hit the debt ceiling. The Congress says we only will allow this much debt of the federal government. I think it's like $29, $30 trillion. Yes, trillion with a T-R, trillion dollars. And when the Democrats pass the budget, they're going to blow through it. So they got to raise the ceiling. And Manchin's saying, I'm only going to allow $1.5 trillion in the package. And Republicans are saying, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling. You're going to have to do it through the reconciliation process. Why? The Republican logic here is that if you wish to raise the debt ceiling, you have to do it yourself because you're raising it to capture your spending. And it's not going well for them, for the Democrats. I want to read for you from Punch Bowl News. A lot of the people who wrote the Politico playbook, the good writers, they left and they started this Punch Bowl News. I got to read for you part of this because it really sets the stage for what's going on Capitol Hill. The only assessment one can make right now about Democrats on Capitol Hill and the White House, this is a party that at the moment is a bit adrift and doesn't seem to know how to turn its bold ideas into legislation that can actually pass. This is a big problem when you've got the razor-thin margins that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have. Forget blowing up the filibuster. There are few issues that a simple majority of House and Senate Democrats agree on right now. Even more worrisome is caught up in the struggle between the Democrats is government funding and the debt limit. We're careening into a legislative crisis. The government's going to shut down in 9 days, and estimates indicate we're going to reach the borrowing limit in a month. The House is going to vote today on a short-term government funding bill coupled with language to hike the debt limit until 2022. Republicans are going to block it. If you still think Republican senators are going to cave, we can't help you. Republicans from Mitt Romney to Shelley Moore Caputo to Susan Collins have made very clear they're in lockstep with Mitch McConnell in blocking a debt limit hike. So what's plan B? Glad you asked, because we did too. No one has an answer. They asked Pelosi on Monday if the Senate Republicans would block this, what would they do? And Pelosi's response is, well, let's hope they don't. When Punch Bowl News noted Republicans had repeatedly said they're going to reject it, she says again, well, let's hope they don't. They're going to block it. The Democrats have a fallback. They can add a debt limit increase to the reconciliation package by amending the budget resolution. It would be time-consuming, but the clock is ticking. They got to do it soon. The Speaker doesn't want them to do it that way. Pelosi said we put our path in the continuing resolution. In other words, she's not going to rule it out, but she's not yet conceding that it's likely. So then there's Joe Biden at the moment. This is Punch Bowl again. There's no clear path for Congress to pass the reconciliation package anytime soon. Pelosi held a meeting with committee chairs and leaders in the Capitol Monday night, said decisions need to be made on the overall direction of the package, meaning taxes, Medicare, Medicaid, and more in the next 48 hours. It seems exceedingly unlikely these decisions will be made in the next 2 days. Even if they were to happen, the fastest the reconciliation package can come to the floor would be the end of next week. But even that's unlikely because of the chasm between the moderates and progressives. Pelosi insisted the differences between the House and Senate Democrats aren't as wide as many rank-and-file lawmakers believe. But she also had a carefully worded warning to the progressives. Be prepared to be disappointed by the Senate. Her words, our legislation is being reviewed by the House and Senate budget committees for possible bird violation challenges in order to narrow our exposure in a bird bath. The House and Senate are already in agreement on most of the bills. Not a lot of confidence there. She made a concession to moderates, Nancy Pelosi did. She promised the House wouldn't vote on a version of the reconciliation package that's more expensive than the Senate counterpart. That's been a big fear. The President and Senate Democrats sent us a budget resolution with a cap of $3.5 trillion. We've promised members we would not have House members vote for a bill with a higher top line that would be passed by the Senate. Hopefully, that will be at the $3.5 trillion number. We must be prepared for adjustments according to the Byrd rule and an agreed-upon number. Now, all of this may sound like gobbledygook for you, but let me explain this to you in just raw political terms. The Democrats can't figure out among themselves what they want in the overall package. They can't figure out how to restrain the spending to satisfy Joe Manchin, and they can't figure out how to raise the debt limit without Republican votes because they don't want to own it completely. They're afraid it's going to be a political issue, and Mitch McConnell knows all of this. There's a lot of discussion about Republicans ousting Mitch McConnell, trying to get rid of Mitch McConnell. Donald Trump thinks the era of Mitch McConnell must come to an end. I used to. But he's not going anywhere, at least not right now, not with Donald Trump pushing him out. And here is the thing you got to understand. McConnell knows how this game is played, and right now you want him in this position because he's got a united Republican front saying they're not going to raise the debt limit. If the Democrats can't do it in the reconciliation package, and this is a big deal here, if the Democrats cannot raise the debt ceiling in the reconciliation package, McConnell can force concessions. He's not going to do an all-or-nothing approach. McConnell is not going to say, yes, we will gladly raise the debt ceiling with no strings attached. He's not going to do that. And remember, if the Democrats don't pass the debt ceiling increase in reconciliation, they're not going to be able to pass it without Republican help. Republicans aren't going to give them what they want. the Republicans are standing for. It's one of the few times the Republicans are willing to fight. And in part of the reason the Republicans are willing to fight is they know the Democrats are really divided right now. See, I've been telling you guys for a while, and it always falls on deaf ears, but I've been telling y'all for a while that the Democrats are on the verge of a major crackup. And the media has always been obsessed with the Republican infighting. Like right now, so John Eastman, Donald Trump's lawyer, wrote a memo showing how he could hang on to power and essentially reject the Electoral College. You do not have to know much about the American Constitution to understand that he was full of crap, but he represented Donald Trump. He had to come up with something. He was a lawyer. He was doing his best to try to thread a needle that does not work. The dog does not hunt, as some might say. Mike Lee, the foremost expert on the Constitution in the United States Senate, laughed Eastman's memo out of the Senate, said there's no way, this is impossible. Mike Pence's lawyers, the Senate parliamentarian, former Vice President Dan Quayle, all said there's no way this happens. It was rejected. The media wants you to focus on Eastman's memo and the supposed coup that Donald Trump was trying to mount because they never, ever, 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 ever want to focus on Democrat divisions. The Democrats are actually the ones on the verge of a crackup at this moment. The Democrats are divided between the progressives and the moderates. The Democrats cannot get the Democrats' agenda passed. They cannot get their president's agenda passed through Congress. They cannot do it with themselves, even though the filibuster is not an obstacle. They can't do it because they are divided increasingly between the progressives and the moderates. And the progressives feel like they are on the rise. The progressives feel like it is their party now. And the progressives intend to make the moderates bend the knee. The moderates know they cannot bend the knee to the progressives in the Democratic Party because if they do, they're toast. They're gone. In fact, the moderates actually have truth on their side that if the Democratic Party goes further to the left, they're going to lose more and more people. They're starting to lose Hispanic voters. They're starting to lose young black men. They're starting to even lose college-educated people again. There's been a 12-point swing in the polling average of college-educated people moving back to the GOP in response to the Democrats' growing progressivism. So for the progressives to hold up the entire budgetary process and to hold up the spending package and to hold up the bipartisan infrastructure bill in order to get even more spending and more government expansion, that's not going to work for the public. You can't expect the Republicans to help you when you're saying your spending plan is going to fundamentally transform American society. On top of that, you can't expect the moderate House Democrats to sleep well at night thinking they're helping you fundamentally transform America when most Americans do not want America fundamentally transformed. The math does not add up. And the fighting is about to get really ugly on the Democratic side without any Republicans participating. Now, you may have ugly smells in your house. You may have noxious odors like the sulfur you smell when Nancy Pelosi walks through a room. You can eliminate those odors, if you like, by going and getting an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You can buy a 3-pack of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm and save $200 right now. Now, here's what you need to know. It's a filterless air purifier. That's key because you never have to worry about a subscription to filters. What you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com. Sorry, brain fart there for a minute. EdenPureDeals.com, and you click on my name, Eric Erickson. And then you will see the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You can buy the 3-pack and save $200. Put it in your cart. When you go to checkout, there's an orange button that says checkout. You will see a discount code. At the discount code, you put in, miracle of miracles, the code ERIC3. ERIC3. Not the word three, but the number three. ERIC3. No space. And then suddenly, when you click the apply button, you will see $200 taken off. You will see free shipping. You will see 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms for less than $200. One for your upstairs, one for your downstairs, one for your basement or your RV or wherever you need it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm cleans the air, eliminates the pollen, the mold, the mildew, all the spores floating around. It takes care of it. EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code ERIC3 at checkout. You can thank me later. Well, here's some breaking news. Speaking of all the frustrations the Democrats are having in Washington, D.C., progressives have told House Democratic leaders they will not vote for a continuing resolution if it includes $1 billion to fund Israel's Iron Dome system. The Iron Dome system is the system that protects Israel from the Hamas terror attacks and the progressives don't want to fund it. They don't want to protect the Jewish people from terrorist attacks. I mean, listen, of all the things to shut the American government down over, to screw the Israelis is striking. They're willing to shut down the government in order to screw the Israelis and help Hamas terrorists. That's amazing. This is happening right now. Democrats have had to go into recess in the Rules Committee to figure out how to navigate it forward. That the progressives don't want to help the Israelis. By the way, I've gotten this question from a ton of people today. This is a completely separate topic. This is back to immigration. I've gotten this question from a ton of people. How are there so many Haitians at the southern border? My presumption was that people, after the instability, the earthquake and the like in Haiti, that they were getting on planes and flying from Haiti to Mexico City and walking up. That's not actually true. The Associated Press, of all things, has actually done the yeoman's work on this to figure out what's happening. So in the Olympics in Brazil, a whole bunch of people went from Haiti to Brazil to be day laborers. The economy there is collapsing. Over the last year or so, a bunch have gone to Chile, they've gone to Argentina, they've gone to Brazil as the economy's collapsed. There are rumors circulating that the American border is open thanks to Joe Biden's talking points. So they've all been making their way north. So some have fled Haiti, gone to Mexico City and trying to get in. Most overwhelmingly what it is, this is actually people who've been sitting in Central and South America can't find work. So now they're headed north. That's where these Haitian immigrants are coming from. Now, it is my time to tell you about Omaha Steaks, and I'm so glad to, because I love Omaha Steaks. I really do. I'm a customer. I get a lot of food from them. I put them on my grill. It's wonderful. I love them. Their New York strips are great. Their burgers are great. My wife loves their caramel apple tartlets. I love their chicken breasts that are pre-sliced and frozen. Great for meal prep. There's so much you can get. I've even gotten a brisket from Omaha Steaks and put it on my rec deck to smoke it. You can do that too. And if you're new to Omaha Steaks, you can save $30. On an order of $129 or more. What you do is you go to omahasteaks.com. You put whatever you want in your shopping cart. I'm not going to tell you to get a package. Don't use my name as a keyword. Don't look for the packages. Just get what you want. Get some seafood. Get some lobster. Get some salmon. Get some New York strip steaks. Get the caramel apple tartlets. Whatever you want. Put it in your cart. And then at checkout, you'll see a discount code box. And you put in my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K. E-R-I-C-K. If you do that, you will save $30 on an order of $129 or more if you're a new customer. It's a great way for you to see for yourself what I've been telling you about Omaha Steaks. You save money, you get a delicious box from Omaha Steaks, and you'll keep going back for more at omahasteaks.com.